Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Tuesday. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and we are grateful once again for the opportunity Jesus has given us to give you the Word of God again today. I thank God for all you that are listening to this broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Mexico, Iraq, Philippines, welcome. And to every country that's listened to this broadcast that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, amen and amen. We thank God for another blessed day. And as we await for my brother, Brother Robert Gross, to join us, wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come this day before you to acknowledge once again that you are Almighty God and that you are the true source of all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Therefore, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Almighty Creator, that, Lord God, that upon your grace and mercy that you will release the understanding in our hearts we need concerning your word. Father, I pray that you will bless me and my brother today to rightly divide the word of God as we've given it to the listeners. And Father, I pray for the listeners today that those who desire to know truth, that they shall find, and that seek your spirit for a witness, that they shall get it. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this blessed day that you've given us, and I give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on the part of the series called The Times of Restoration and Restitution. This is part two. For those of you that are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you to listen to part one. If you are on this page, the God's Word to Man logo should be, I think, on your left. You click on it, you see episodes, you can click on the episodes. The thing about Blog Talk Radio, it records all the episodes we have done. So therefore, you can go back and listen to part one. We're taking up here on part two, and we have been talking about the times of restoration and restitution and looking at the Word of God and letting the Word of God tell us when it shall begin and when it shall be. And from what we've seen in the Word, this is the time that we're living in, that the restoration, restitution of all things is to be enforced or put into play. Glory be to God, and glory be to God that it's going to be done in this day and time. And so yesterday in part one, I shared with you definitions concerning the word restore, restoration, and restitution, okay? And I went to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, and we looked at that, which tells us that there's a time and purpose and a season for all things under heaven. And so since we are told that in the Word of God through Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, we come to understand that this also involves this work of restoration, restitution that God is talking about. Remember, God has a timing, and we must remember that his calendar is not our calendar. His timetable is not our timetable. And let me click my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. How are you today?
Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another opportunity we have given us to give the word of God to the people, and brother, to continue to shovel some more pain on that devil. So I am grateful to that. Glory be to God.
Amen.
We are once again, the times of restoration, restitution, part two. My brother and I, we've been talking to you about it again. letting you know from the Word of God, and overall, let's say the Word of God is letting you know when this work of restoration and restitution is to begin and be. And according to the Word of God, it is to be in this time that we're living in the end time. And we'll see that more as we go more into the Word of God. Yesterday, I opened with, once again, Ecclesiastes 3:1, that tells us that there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And that being the case, what we hear through the Word of God, that includes any of the work of the Lord that God speaks about in the scriptures that he is to do. Okay, so that also involves the restitution and restoration. Okay, hallelujah, glory be to God. There's a season and time for it, and the Word of God tells us that in this end time, this is the time. So from there, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. Glory be to God. Thank God for the Amen. Precious word of the Lord. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Mm. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord. Book of Acts chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 19 and go to verse 21. The book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21. Once again, if you have your Bibles, hey, we always letting you know, hey, turn with us. You know, we want to put your eyes on this, okay? We don't want you just to be hearing us talking. That's one of the problems going on today. There's a whole lot of talking and very less showing. And I personally like to put people eyes on the word. I don't like to just be just talking, okay? I like to for people to witness it themselves, okay? Because one of the things about it, if you just talk and don't put their eyes on the word, then it all going to be what you said and not what the Word of God said, okay? So, on that note, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21, the Word of God said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until, or there go that word until. The word until signifies a particular time, a particular order, okay? And he said, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, that's Acts 3:19 through 21. Now, hallelujah. According to verse 21 here, we see that the time of the restitution, I remember one of the definitions I gave to you of restitution is restoration to the rightful owner. The time of the restitution is to be before Jesus returns. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Which points to the time we're living in now, the end time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because this verse is not talking about before his first coming, okay? But second coming, okay? Hallelujah. And the work of the restitution of all things, according to what we see in the Word of God here, what Peter is telling us, it is to happen before Christ's return. This is where also I part in differences with my brothers and sisters who are teaching rapture, because they're saying Jesus can come at any time. Well, when you read this verse here, that's not true. According to this verse here, there must be a restitution of all things done first. okay? Now, we got to remember that. It got to be done first. So when you say Jesus can come back at any day or any time, that's not true. Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The times of the restitution of all things must be into play first. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the word. Amen. See, let's look at it like this. Our God is a God of order, okay? And throughout the scriptures, he lays down different events and things that have happened before he returned. Now, if he just show up at any time, he just went out of his own order. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If Christ show up at any time, now we got to remember this. When you have read, and maybe some of you haven't, but some of you may have. When you have read in the scripture that he talks about different things that's supposed to happen before his return, and then you turn around and say that he can come at any time, that's contradictory. Because
Amen.
What you're saying is that God does not follow his own order. Hallelujah. So if God relate to me in the scriptures through his prophets or his service or what have you, that he a particular thing supposed to happen, then he comes, but then he jumps ahead and he comes anyhow, how could I take him at his word? I wouldn't be able to do it, because I will be saying, well, Lord, you know, you said this event would happen first and you came before it happened, you know, and I will be justified in what I'm saying. So we got to keep in mind that when God tells us that certain events or things that happen before his return, rest assured it's got to be fulfilled first before he come back. Hallelujah. And we notice here in verse 21 that not only does he tell us that the restitution of all things must be, but he said in verse 21, he has spoken what? This work of restitution of all things, and he has spoken that this restitution must be before Christ come. He has spoken it by the mouth of his holy prophets.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that means, for one thing, that means when you see that, he actually is also pointing you back to the Old Testament. Now, some say, well, where do you get that from? Well, you have the Old Testament prophets. Now, you look in the Old Testament, there's books of the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. So each one of them got so much of the plan of restitution of the work of God. Okay? God, remember, if you ever read what Isaiah said, and I think that's in Isaiah chapter 28, he said the word of God is what? Here a little, there a little. So all through the time, the ages, with his people, he gave here a little and there a little to so many of them. This is the reason why, another reason why, you just can't throw the Old Testament away. You know, we've gotten off the mark so bad about, hey, we're a New Testament church, and we don't go by the Old Testament no more, that we have missed the point. Okay? God gave Old Testament prophets concerning the work of the restitution, and he gave it to them clearly that this work has to be done before what? Christ's return. Okay? He gave it to them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so they even testify, glory to God, that there is a work of restitution or restoration to be done in these last days before Christ's return. Well, let's look at one. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And this is what my brother and I, have been sharing with you, and this is why throughout the broadcast and different series, you know, y'all kept hearing us saying the work of restoration, restitution, the work of restoration, restitution. And, you know, some of y'all probably listen and say, man, why y'all keep saying that? You know, well, this is what the Word of God tells us. And it let us know that God is doing a work of restoration and restitution. And so we want to look at one of the prophets, the Old Testament, that talks about it, okay? Daniel chapter 2, hallelujah, verse 28. And I want to say this to those of you listening. When you get a chance, read this whole chapter 2 of Daniel, okay? Read the whole, we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but I'm going to take some of the scriptures from it, but I want to encourage you to read this whole chapter yourself, okay? Now, Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. This is what Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Huh. Amen. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Well, what's the latter days? That's the last days. That's the end time, okay? Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now, let's look at this for a second here. King Nebuchadnezzar, now this is over, this is even before Christ came in the flesh. This man was given a dream about the end time. And to show you that God gave it to him, and there's more proof, Daniel not only told him what the dream meant, he told him what he saw in the dream. Nebuchadnezzar didn't even have to record, didn't even have to rehearse the dream to Daniel. See, that showed you the power of God that was at work. So Daniel even told, say, hey, this is what you dream. And then turn around and say, I'm going to give you what it means. Now, if that ain't the power of God, what is? Okay. But the dream pointed to the last days and how these kings would even rise up in these last days. Okay. Let's look at verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Now, notice what he said. He said, and in the days of these kings, now he was talking about Media Persia, Greece, Rome, okay, hallelujah, Babylon, and that these kings will arise again up in the last days, which, what is that? The time we're living in, okay? But notice what he said in verse 44. He said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, not man, okay, the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, people, the Word of God said, God, now remember what Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar. Your dream was what's going to happen in the latter days, okay? That's what he saw. What's happening in this time that we're living in. That's what latter days is dealing with. It's dealing with the last days or the end time. What we're living in now, people. And here in the Word, he said, God is going to set up a kingdom. Now, wait a minute. Well, I thought God already set up a kingdom when he first came. He did. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, if you see God have to set it up again, something happened. And we, in the other series, told you about what happened, even with the church. So if he had to set it up or establish it again, that is an act of what? Restoring. Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this restoring, as we see in the Word of God here, had to be when? In the last days. In the latter days. What day? The time we're living in now. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he said God would set up a kingdom. Okay? Hallelujah. Because remember, when Jesus first came, he set it up. So if God has to set something up again, that's, once again, that's an act of restoring. Remember the definitions that I gave you in part one of the word restore. It is to put or bring back again, okay? To put again in possession of something. To put and bring back to a former condition, okay? Hallelujah. And see, God setting up his kingdom again in these last days, once again, is an act of restoring, okay? Hallelujah. And this has to be before Christ's return. Now, you may say, well, how do we know that? Remember what Acts 3 and 21 said. Heaven must receive him who is him, Christ, until what? The restitution of all things, okay? The restoration to the rightful owner, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That means all things must be restored or restituted before Christ's return. That includes this kingdom that we're reading about here in Daniel chapter 2. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah.
Man.
This is it. Glory. So here, Daniel is giving more proof that, what, this work of restitution, restoration, is to be what? In the last days. And guess what? That's what we're living in. So this is the time. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may say, hey, we didn't hear too much like that before. Well, we're showing you in the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're showing you what God's word is saying about that, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank God for the precious word of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, I want to look at one more scripture here, and then I'm going to turn over to my brother. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, okay? Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Thank God for the word. Daniel chapter 12, and look at verse 4. Now, remember, we're seeing that this work of restitution, restoration, is to be what? In the last days or in the end time, okay? Now, we're seeing that from the Word of God here, okay? Now, we're gonna sit here. Now, we're going to notice something that Daniel also said to let us know when this, once again, this work of restitution, restoration, being done in the end time. Look what he said in verse 4. He said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end, to the time of the end. That's the end time, people. That's the latter days. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So, look at what the Lord said is connected to the end time, an increase of knowledge, okay? An increase of knowledge. So this work of restitution and restoration is to come out during a time where there be an increase in knowledge. Well, is not this time fit the bill, okay? Think about it. In Daniel time, even when Jesus walked the earth in the flesh, Moses' time, you name it, did you see any railway trains? Huh? Did you see any navigation, steam navigation boats and all that? Did you see any electric locomotives? Okay. We're living in the time now where knowledge has increased, where there are stuff that have been built. I give you an example. Look at the internet. I mean, you can Google just about whatever. you know, I hear guys like at work, you know, on the job I'm on, and when they talk about, hey,
something wrong with my car, and one guy say, hey, if you want to know how to fix a car, just YouTube, just Google it. And they were telling the truth because you have some and you get knowledge from watching a YouTube, you know, or Googling about how to fix certain things on your car. See, we're living in a time where knowledge has increased. Okay?
Amen.
You know, think about it. In that time, the only light you had light fire, you know, or burn oil in a lamp. Now we got what this day? We got what you call electricity. That turn light switch on in the house. So here in Daniel, the end time, the increase in knowledge is connected to the end. And since we're talking about the work of restoration and restitution, the word of God shows us it's to be done in the end time. That means it is to be done and be in operation during what? A time of increasing knowledge. Once again, people, this fits the bill. Okay? This time fits the bill. Hallelujah. I mean, the knowledge is just, like I said, you can go Google, you can go YouTube, okay? But look, because of the increase of knowledge, the different things we have and built. We got refrigerators. We got TVs. Just imagine if you were talking to a Paul back then and said, Paul, I'm going to go watch TV. Paul would look at you like, what are you talking about? What TV? You know, Paul, you can see people over there in another country without leaving your house. Well, see, they didn't have that in that time. So we're living in a time now that knowledge has increased.
Yeah.
And God is saying at that in this timing, he's still doing the work. See, people think that the work that is to be done is what they see in being created, like your refrigerators and stuff like that. People, listen, we thank God for knowledge to do certain things in that area, but that's not the greatest of the work to be done. The greatest of the work to be done is the restitution and restoration. Okay? See, this is why God tells us not to mind, you know, things of this world. Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with you having a house and a car, but see, when your mind is set on that, and this is what's happening with many Christians, we have made things of the world the great thing. We've made that the great thing, okay? This is why you hear so many of them trying to get 3 and 4 and 5 cars and all these big houses, because they think that is the thing. You understand what I'm saying? They think that's the most important thing. That's not the most important thing, okay? That's not the, quote, great thing. The great work is the restitution and restoration. That's the great work, okay? And see, many of God's people, we got it backwards, okay? We've just got it totally backwards. And we made the things, no, the great work is the restitution and restoration. So I want to drop this final message, too, as I come with a part 3 tomorrow, to let you know that some of you think that God is not doing nothing. You see so much stuff happening. You even seeing some wicked stuff being invented. Let's get real. Everything that's being invented is not good. Okay? There's a lot of wicked stuff being invented. And many of you just looking and saying, man, they're just doing everything. And they look like they're just getting away with it. And you like, is God doing anything? Where is God? What is the? He's at work, people. He's at work. And the greatest of this thing is that many of y'all are seeing nothing but churches fight each other. You're seeing all kinds of mud being slain, okay? You also seeing, just like I saw today, you seeing a whole lot of pastors talking about they coming out the closet. And, man, let me tell you something about that phrase, coming out the closet. That phrase has been used so much to straightly tell you that somebody's coming out calling themselves gay or homosexual that it ain't even funny. Now, every time I hear the phrase, I go, oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, so-and-so came out the closet. I like, man, you ain't even got to say nothing else. I know what you're going to say. And see, some of y'all as true believers, you hearing this, and you going, is God doing anything? I heard, and I'm going to close with this. I heard one of these pastors, he being interviewed, and he claimed that he's a homosexual pastor. And he said God can be whoever he can be to anyone, whoever they want God to be. Now, people, let me tell you something. In this time, you're going to hear man twist the word. Now, like I said, some of you are discouraged, and I understand you being discouraged to a degree because you see these going on like that spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism is, quote, taking over churches. It's taking over. It ain't just there no more. It's taking over churches. Now you got pastors, men calling themselves pastors, saying I'm a same sex gender man, loving them. And you be like, what? And you also call yourself a pastor? These are people stepping in a leadership, people. Lord. But some of you look and you say, man, it's just like they just getting away with it. Where is God? Is he doing anything? People, yes, he is. Restoring and restituting. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. I'm going to stop it right there tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're still talking about restoration and restitution of all things, okay? Now we're laying the foundation for you, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because this blow is going to be heavy that we're going to have to lay on you, okay?
Amen.
We got to hit you hard, okay? But, and you may not like what you hear, but we're going to have to lay the blow on you, okay? We're going to have to help
Amen.
You. With a straight right, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18 chapter. I'm going to start at the 9th verse, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You can go to the 19th verse, okay? Read to the 19th verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting at verse 9. And the word of God says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God, hallelujah, giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, but that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observer of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desires of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoso will not hearken unto the words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
Okay, brothers and sisters, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you should know what time we're living in. My brother told you a few things, okay? But we live in a time when people are coming out the closet and they sodomites, okay?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna say the biblical term. I ain't gonna say gay. I'm gonna say sodomite.
Amen.
What you is, whether you be a man or a woman, if you do any of those things that has to do with homosexuality, or what they call being gay, okay? If you do any of those things like oral sex, anal sex, any of those things is sodomy, okay? That's sodomy. Thank you.
Amen.
So two women getting together, that's sodomy. If two men getting together, that's sodomy. Okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And those are sins that those that are worthy of death, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Those are sins that the Bible called abominations. Now it says in this ninth verse here, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But we've done the opposite here in America, okay?
Amen.
The Lord brought many of us to America, okay? Everybody that God allows to come to America, God allows them to come to America so that they can get saved, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now that's
Amen.
The truth, God's word, okay? If God let you come to America, He let you come to America so that you can be changed, so that you can be converted to Him, okay? That's why you brought here. I don't care whether you're a Buddhist, I don't care whether you're a Hindu, I don't care whether you're a witch, I don't care whether you're a warlock, I don't care whether you're a diviner, I don't care whether you are an enchanter or a charmer or whatever you are. I don't care what kind of religion you are in, okay? Everybody that God allows to come to America, He allows them to come to America so they can be converted to Him, okay?
Amen.
You may not like that because you think America is a place where all religions is supposed to flourish. Not so.
Amen.
You can liken America to just like Israel, okay? You remember the Lord, we're reading here, right? And the Lord says,
Amen.
When thou art into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Right?
That Amen.
Don't pick up no bad habits. Okay? 10th verse says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That's abortion. Right? That's abortion.
Amen. Amen.
Or that's also Roman Catholicism. Okay, spiritual.
Amen.
Or they use it divination or an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch. But what do we see when we go places? Do you not see places of business open up that says diviner, fortune teller?
Yeah.
Don't you see those
Amen.
Things on the front of their doors, advertising? I read. I'm a reader.
Amen.
I'm a psychic.
Amen.
And this is open stuff in America. Okay, these things ought not to be amongst us. Okay, now you can sit there and say, well, everybody got the right to do anything they want. Yeah, they got the right to do anything they want, but not here, not in America.
Amen. Amen.
America. God didn't bring you to America so you could be still a diviner, so you could be an observer of times, so you could be a necromancer, so you could be a witch. God didn't bring you here for that, okay? 11th verse says, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer. 12th verse says, For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Now, what are they telling you in America? They're telling you that all these things, it don't matter what you do in America. And another thing,
amen.
They're about to put in these schools. They about to put this thing in the schools where they're trying to get rid of the traditional family that God set up. Okay, the way that God set up.
Amen.
And this comes straight out from the Black Lives Matter. Okay, in case you thinking Black Lives Matter is a good thing, it's not a good thing. It's a good thing if you are protesting for your rights. Equal rights, okay, and you ain't got Marxism behind you. If you got Marxism
right.
behind you, socialism behind you, and you got some evil work behind you, something propping you up, something paying for you, and this is what you believe in, this is what you are rebellious against God.
Yeah.
Because Marxists don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in
yeah.
Christ. They don't believe in God. They hate God. And they got an agenda. What is their agenda? To destroy everything that says anything about God, that it is God, that is worshiped as God, okay? They're trying to destroy everything about God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing they're not really trying to destroy, they don't care about witchcraft. Real bad religions. They don't care about them. Why do they hate Christianity so much? Remember, I told you that everybody that's brought here to America is brought here for a reason. You are brought here to
yeah.
serve God. You ain't brought here to serve Islam, okay? You ain't about here to become a communism. You ain't about here to become a Roman Catholic. None of those things. Because Roman Catholic, okay? A lot of people think that Roman Catholics are Christian, and they are not.
Yeah.
They are.
Hallelujah.
We have told you that the Roman Catholic is the thing that took the real church's place.
Yeah.
That's all they did. They stamped out the church, destroyed the church, and then they took its place. They said, "Now I'm the church now. I done killed that. I done killed that holy one. I got rid of
yeah.
her. Stamped her out. Okay. Now I'm her. Look at me.
Right.
Yeah, I know I ain't wearing no white dress. No, I know I ain't got no sun shining on me and shining out of me.
Yeah.
I know I'm wearing a red and a purple dress, but that's all right.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I know I'm a whore, but that's all right
yeah.
because that's what that church is. Okay, thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Thank you for all these. 12 verse again, for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. That's why the Lord destroys them. That's why the Lord wipes them out. That's why the Lord, that's why the wrath of God is coming upon on the world because of these things, okay? Do you know America now, you can... When you look at America, you look at the cities in America, you're looking at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at.
Amen.
When you're looking at places of witchcraft. They done set up their shop here in America. The devil done set up the devil got a school here in America teaching people how to be Satanists, okay?
Yeah.
Man, how can we even identify with these things, okay? Are we supposed to be, we call ourselves a godly nation, a Christian nation? We're not a Christian nation anymore. Because America got all the false religions in it that's in the whole world. America. Yeah. They've come here, and they come here to roost. They come here to what you call it, to progress.
Yep.
They could, that's why they come here, and they are allowed to progress. And everybody said, "Oh, leave them alone. They are good. They are religion, just like you are. They're just as good as you are."
Amen.
Oh man, we in trouble, but we don't know. We don't know we're in trouble yet. Okay, but this is why all these things are happening. That's why now, when you look at the news now. When you look at the news, what do you see on the news? You see that they're trying to actually take away your freedom of speech. That's what they're trying to take away. They're trying to take away your freedom of talking about Christ. That's what they're hitting at. That's the mark they're trying to hit, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they, in order to take it away from you, they got to take it away from everybody, right? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what they're working on. That's what communism is all about. That's what socialism is all about. That's what Marxism is all about. That's what Black Lives Matter is all about, okay? And they're using the Black Lives Matter as a point where you get thrown off, where you get deceived, okay? Where you cannot see past the Black Lives Matter because people are so stirred up about the Black Lives Matter, they ain't seeing what the devil is actually doing, what the devil is perpetrating. They not seeing what the devil is actually doing, what he's doing to America. And these people are standing by saying, oh, let them march, and let them burn up this, and let them burn, and they doing it without, and they saying they doing it without violence, okay? How many things got burned up in Chicago this summer? How many things got destroyed in the different cities in America this summer? Huh? Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you recall the violence? Now they're trying to say it's just the police. So they fund the police, but they lying.
Yeah.
If you go out there and you get in the police face and you tell the police you ain't nothing but you cursing the police out in his face and you provoking him, thank you Jesus, and you spraying him in the face with pepper spray, okay? Or you trying to beat him down? What's going to happen? He's a police, so what are you going to do? He's going to defend himself. Thank you, G. But people like to pretend like, hey, these things they don't matter. We let us alone because we got a right to be angry. Yes, you do got a right to be angry, but you ain't got a right to be stupid. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And many of us have been stupid because if we're not walking in peace, we're not going to accomplish anything. That's only one thing you can accomplish by the way they're doing it, is you're going to bring in a false, evil spirit. You're going to bring in the spirit of communism. That's what they're trying to bring in. That's what they are trying to bring in to America. That's what they're trying to get to dominate America, is the spirit of communism. And they're working hard to bring it in, and people working hard to help them bring it in. They're working with all their might. And we being sold out, and you don't even know it. You said that talking about you marching for your rights. You ain't going to have no rights when they come, when the communists take over. What if they come over and take over something, what you think they do? They take over the whole thing. They tell you when you can use, when you can go to bed, when you can get up, when you can leave your house, you know, and they got eyes on you everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. You talking about your liberty? You ain't going to have no liberty. You ain't going to have no civil liberties. You ain't going to have no kind of liberties. All your liberties about to be taken away from you, and you don't even understand it. Thank you, Jesus, because you let the devil win. Thank you, Jesus. You let all this witchcraft in. You let all this homosexuality in. You let all this communism in. You let all this false religions in. You let all this Islam in. You let all that stuff in. You did. America, you in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. And you need to know why you need a restoration. Why do you need a restoration? God got to rescue us. Glory to the Lamb. We need to be rescued, man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're on the 14th verse, right? Okay. All right. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now, people scoff at that when the Lord says he wants you to be perfect with him. Well, God said he wants you to be perfect. Now, the word perfect don't mean what you think it means. It means something different, okay? It don't mean perfect indeed. It means perfect in obedience to God's word, okay? That's what perfect is with God, okay? You might say, well, I can't do that. I can't be perfect. You can be perfect.
Yeah.
You just have to do it God's way. You can't be perfect your way. You can't be perfect indeed. But you can be perfect God's way, where God will say, yes, that's my son. That's my daughter. And yes, they are clean. They are washed. They are perfect in my sight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
14th verse. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so. That's not supposed to be in America, brothers and sisters. This garbage ain't supposed to be in America.
Amen.
All this pornography. Hallelujah. All this eros. Hallelujah. All that garbage. Teaching men how to sin. And then making it legal. Trying to make things legal.
Amen.
Making drugs legal. Hallelujah. Making alcohol legal. Tobacco legal. All those things that you shouldn't be doing in the first place is made legal. Why? Because Satan wants to put his hooks in you, and those are hooks. Habits are hooks, okay? Drugs are hooks, right? Tobacco is hooks. Thank you, Jesus. That's all those things are hooks. Habits are hooks. 10 habits. That's what they are. 16th verse says, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord, thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. They rightly said that, the Lord said, because they were evil. they were wicked. And the Lord had to keep them in line. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. And then God goes on to say, I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, this is the prophet of the highest, okay? A lot of people think this is Jesus.
Yeah.
People think this is Jesus, okay? I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now the word of God was not in the mouth of Jesus, okay? What did I say? The word of God was not in the mouth of Jesus, because Jesus Christ was the very word of God, okay?
Amen.
Is there a difference there? Yes, there is a difference there. Jesus Christ was the very Word of God. He was God, the Word of God in flesh. That's what Jesus Christ was, okay? That's why he could not be a prophet.
Amen.
Just like God prophesying. God don't prophesy. Jesus was the Word of God in flesh, okay? He was not a prophet. Even though he was amongst the prophets, hallelujah, he was not a prophet. Get it right. He was Lord. He was God. He was King. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. He was a priest forever after Melchizedek. Glory to the Lamb. That's Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. But this prophet here that Moses is talking about is John the Baptist. Thank you, Jesus. And John
Amen.
The Baptist is like unto Moses, okay? That's what he's like unto, okay? Jesus said, what about John the Baptist? That there is not a greater prophet risen among men than John the Baptist. What did John
Amen.
The Baptist do that was great? Huh? Baptists have to restore all things. John the Baptist has two comings. Hallelujah. From the time of Moses to the time of to our time, it has been spoken of him that he should come. That's why he's called the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why is he called the Ancient of Days? Because it was spoken of him many times. They thought it was Jesus, and it wasn't Jesus. It was his forerunner. John is Jesus' forerunner, okay? We ain't giving John no dibs, okay? We ain't giving him no props, okay? He ain't got no props. He's a servant of the Lord, God. Hallelujah. He came at the first coming of Jesus, and the Lord said he's going to come in the second coming of Jesus. That's what Jesus Christ alluded to when he was talking about John. When you talk about him preparing the ways before Christ, okay, in Luke, the first chapter, you talk about he's going to prepare the ways. He's the preparer of the ways. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. But this is who, this is the one that's going to restore all things. So when he comes, that means you have to, everything he says, you have to listen to what he says, right?
Amen.
Because if you don't listen to what he's saying, then you ain't going to be found with God, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, I'm going to raise that prophet up among your from amongst your brethren, like unto thee. And the Lord did raise him up from amongst the children of Israel, okay? Raised him up. Thank you, Jesus. And he gave him the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, right? That's what it said
Amen.
About him in Luke. Glory to the Lamb. It don't say that about nobody else in the whole Bible that was born with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. But this man was born with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He was born. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, a man of God, the baptizer. One, the baptizer. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he's the forerunner of Jesus Christ in both his first coming and his second coming. Okay, that is the work of John the Baptist. Okay, thank you, Lord. And we ain't telling you no false stories. We ain't telling you no untruth. Okay, and anybody that tell you that this is not so does not understand the scriptures.
Amen.
Now they truly go. What they really going by is that old John got his head cut off. That's what they going off of. John got his head cut off. Can't be John. John can't be coming back again. Well, the very fact that John got his head cut off before Jesus Christ died gave him the space to be able to come back again, okay? Because
Amen.
John got his head cut off before Jesus Christ was crucified, right? Well, I'm going to leave you tonight, okay? And then we're going to tell you more about it tomorrow, okay? And I'm going to give it over to the hands of my brother. Take it away, brother, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the word that my brother has given. Tomorrow we will have the third and final part to this part of the series. And my brother did tell you something that, you know, once again, that, you know, we're going to have to come your way with. And we have to give you the word. Just like when we get on the next part of the series, it's going to be dealing with the sign of the restoration. Now, you know, we're going to get into something where that, for example, many of you know concerning the Bible. And you may think that the Bible is the only book of the Word of God. Now, and please hear me on this, because we're going to get into that part of the series. That's why I told you, I said, you know, hear us out and take what we give you to the Lord. We're not telling you to automatically jump on the bandwagon because we said it. But we have a job to give to you, to do, to give you the word of God. And that's what we're going to be coming with. And we told you, for those of you who have been listening some months ago, especially those of you who have never heard this before, we told you, say, hey, we're going to be coming with it. And there's no doubt that there's things that you no doubt had heard from us that you have more or less never heard before. But as a Christian people, one of the things that is damaging to us is that when we hear something we hadn't heard before, we're so quick to reject it. Now, don't get me wrong. Everything that's said is not of God. Some things you ain't even got to ask God about. It's so far-fetched, it's ridiculous, okay? But with something of a, quote, normal, but you haven't heard it before, the next thing you need to do is take what you have heard to God. But so many professing Christians, because it's something they hadn't heard before, they disregard it right off the bat. And see, you put yourself in position are missing out on great blessings because of that kind of spirit, okay? And when that happens, you know, it's going to be many the last day they're going to be shocked about some of the stuff God going to tell them. When they say, God, how come, what, if you're doing this, how come you didn't tell me? And God going to say, well, I did tell you through this person. It's going to be so many people shocked. And some of the people that's going to be shocked is the people who think they know all about the Bible. Now, you got some men out there, brothers and sisters, brothers in Christ, but they got to let you know how many thousands of hours they put. Now, I ain't trying to be funny. I have to be straight up with you. Many times they're telling you how many thousands of study hours they put into the Bible. They gotta let you know, and they give you a number. They actually gives you a number. And I'm like, what was the purpose? The only purpose I can see you telling someone that is that you're trying to show yourself. That's what you're trying to do. To make people think that you know what you know what you know, because you, quote, put in these many hours. Then I wonder, how did you keep up with the count of those hours?
Yeah.
You know, because did you have like a time clock sitting there and you set it, and when it went off so many minutes, then you wrote it down on paper? How did you do that? But so many of them, and especially those that believe in the rapture. Now, I know y'all hear me saying this a lot, but I got to be honest with you. Especially some of them that big-time televangelists and people on TV that believe in the rapture, is saying this, especially them. Oh, I got so many thousands of study hour time. Okay. You know. So do that mean that you can't miss it because you have so many thousand hours of study time? You know, to me personally, I wouldn't too much want to tell that because that's the signal I'm sending out that I'm telling you because I got all these thousand hours study time that I can't miss it. And when you find out I missed it real bad, real wide, what can I say? I mean, and you got people out there when they hear you, quote, saying that, oh, they going to be ready for you. If you ever miss it, they coming to find you. They may not say nothing else to you before that time, but they find out you missed it. They coming for you. Okay? There are some things, like I said, we're going to go into that's connected to this work of restitution. We will talk about God bringing forth more of his word, even through another book. Okay? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about who he used and even another translation of the book. We're going to talk about the up and the downside of that person. I mean, we're going to come with the whole thing because, for example, and I'm going to say this in internal to the hands of my brother, for example, the church that we belong to, Church Christ-Elias Message, and I know some of you, may not all of you, but some of you have looked on the website and you saw something on there that made you go, oh, that's what y'all are, you know. And I know you said that, okay? Yeah. But the church was in error because they never explained why they put that particular data there. That's where we're going to come in at and do this, okay? We're going to explain to you because, see, people, you have to be careful how you say things or put things out. Some people say things without an explanation. And what you can do is you can mislead a lot of people that way. There's a couple of things God showed me about our talking. Number one, he showed me some years ago about how important terminology is. Your terminology is important. Sometimes the way you say things and some things when you say it, you have to be more explaining it. Not just say it and leave it like that. Because, see, some things people can get a bad impression from, okay? Just like, for example, if a woman had a bad experience with a man, and let's say she say, men are dogs. Well, when you hear her say that, what are you thinking? You thinking she's saying what? Men? Anyone that is called a male is a dog. But if you talk to her and she said, well, I didn't say all men were dogs. I just said, well, see, your terminology misled because you said men. You didn't say some men. See, you said some men, that's more explaining. That's more you saying, I'm not saying all men. But when you just say men are dogs, that means that you're saying whoever is classified as a what? Male. It's a dog, okay? So your terminology is important. Many times the way you say a phrase thing, that's important. And then plus two, if you don't explain it, this is why too, when it comes to the gospel, God tells us to preach the whole truth. Amen. Preach the full gospel. Why? If God has to tell you to preach something fully, that means that what's being preached is not complete. And see, it's a lot of half-preaching, okay? Just like people preach that God is the God of love. He is. They preach that he's long-suffering. He is. But they leave it at that and make people think that God is a doormat, that you could just walk all over him. So you say, well, what are you saying, Brother Nate? They don't preach that God is also the God of judgment.
See that? You got men in the Christian circle. They don't want you to say that. They'll try to silence you. Oh, don't scare the people. Don't tell them that. Don't scare the people. Yeah, but you leading them to think that God is a doormat. Yes,
amen.
God is love. You see, that's an example of preaching the full thing. When you preaching the full thing, not only is you preaching that God's a God of love, but you got to also let people know that he also a God of judgment. And see, some people, because we have preached that one-sided, they think that they can do anything, disobey, rebel, or anything, and they're going to bust heaven wide open. That's what they think. Why? Because most of our preaching and teaching has misled them. We have let them think that God is just all love, long-suffering. We might well call him forever suffering the way we be teaching it, and that there is no judgment side of God. And so, hey, I ain't got to serve God. I ain't got to have nothing to do with him, but I'm going to heaven, okay? And based on, you know, and you hear some, even sinners. Sinners were quoted, hey, now didn't you say God is love? And you be like, yeah, but he love, but he ain't going to tell you just go and sin and you ain't got to listen to him and not be held accountable. Okay? So that's what I mean by the example of, you know, telling the fullness, the full truth. Okay? And that's what me and my brother going to do. When we come with this information, like I said, after this, after part three tomorrow to this right there, we'll be going into the sign of the restoration. I'm going to tell you about the word that God brought forth through another book, okay? And like I said, some of y'all will be like, oh, my goodness. Oh, we shut him down. Cut him off. He's talking crazy. He said there's another book other than the Bible. Where the Bible tell you there's other books, okay? You know, if you read the Bible, it tells you. So what you going to do? Now you're going to burn it up, huh? Well, you ain't got nothing left to stand on. You know, you burn it up. But we'll get into all of that. And as my brother have given you, we'll even get into the coming of the messenger, the angel, like my brother was telling you now, that prophet. We're going to get into all of that, okay? You know, and we're going to present it before you. That's all we can do. Do what we commissioned to do. Tell you and let it be between you and God, okay? Hallelujah. Because I wanna sleep good at night towards God, okay? I'm not so much as worried, and I don't mean to sound arrogant when I say this, I'm not so much worried whether you accept it or not. Now, I pray that you all accept it in here and get a witness from God. But I'm not going to lose sleep because, you know, somebody feel like, hey, Brother Nate crazy, Brother Robert crazy, them guys crazy, man. They talking all that crazy stuff on there. No, we're going to go on because I know that there's some people that will hear from God. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to my brother so he can offer up a closing prayer. Take it away, brother.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, Father, we ask that you prepare the hearts, minds, souls of the people that are listening, Lord God. Give them ears to hear. Give them eyes, oh Lord God, and take off the blindfold off of their eyes, Lord God, the blindness, Lord God, of traditions of men, commandments of men, doctrines of men, Lord God. Take off their ears, Lord Jesus, the ear stops, oh Lord God, of darkness, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, of doctrines of men, Lord God, hallelujah, of ways of men, Lord Jesus, of traditions, oh Lord God, hallelujah, and bless them, Lord God, to hear this word, oh Lord God, in Jesus Christ's name, oh Lord God, hallelujah, and bless us to speak it in truth, oh Lord God, to deliver it, Lord God, hallelujah, in your humility, in your faith, oh Lord God, and in the spirit of Christ, in Jesus Christ's name, oh Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, and bring back the listeners, oh Lord God, hallelujah, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Praise be to God. So, once again, don't forget part three, the third and final part to this part of the series tomorrow night.
Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. As me and my brother will come back and give you the word of God. So, once again, for Brother Robert Gross, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
God bless you, brother.